Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you, and I'm not sure if you realize this, but today is National Take a Chance Day. Every year on April 23rd, National Take a Chance Day encourages us to break out of our comfort zone. You know, most of us have unaccomplished goals or dreams, but what if this was the day that you could take a chance and actually make some of those things happen? Even if it is just the first step toward a goal, it will be one step closer than you were before. So you might want to think about taking a chance today, trying something that you've been meaning to try for a long time. And you know, on the subject of sports, don't forget the NFL draft starts on Thursday. Is it possible that we could see some NFL teams taking a chance on some kids that maybe no one had predicted going that early? We see it every single year. And they usually take a chance on what? Yes, a quarterback. And you know, it actually rarely pays off. They usually end up regretting it. See guys like Paxton Lynch or EJ Manuel or Ryan Tannehill or Brandon Whedon or Jake Locker or Blaine Gabbert or Christian Ponder. All taken earlier than anyone thought. NFL teams took a chance on them. All had critics of the moves, but NFL teams just decided, hey, we're going to take a chance and see if we can beat those odds. Unfortunately, they didn't. I hope that your National Take a Chance Day turns out a little better than some of those moves did. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us what you are going to be taking a chance on today. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter and find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Doesn't have to be about what you're going to take a chance on, unless it's something to do with us, I guess. But maybe you have a question. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion for us here at the show. Make sure to reach out. We would love to hear from you. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com. Search Daily Dose. Scroll down until you see our logo, and there you can pick up some of the new Daily Dose gear that we do have over there. We have our Daily Dose original logo stuff over there, and we do have our Daily Dose iTeam gear over there as well. We've got hoodies, we've got t-shirts, we've got coffee mugs, laptop cases, a number of Daily Dose items for you over at tpublic.com. So make sure that you stop by there. Hey, today on the show, we do have a few breaking news stories that we need to get to. But then we are going to start looking forward to that 2019 NFL draft. It starts on Thursday. We're going to be taking a look at some of the top players that are going to be available. Got a lot of things we need to get to today on the Dose, but let's get started off in college hoops, where Cassius Stanley, a top 30 prospect, has now committed to the Duke Blue Devils. Most likely, that means that once again, Duke is going to have the number one recruiting class in the country. Now, Cassius Stanley chose Duke over a list of other schools, including UCLA, Oregon, and Kansas. He is a 6'5 guard, and he is joining a group that already has five stars, Vernon Carey Jr., Matthew Hurt, Wendell Moore, and Regine Boogie Ellis. You have to think that the issues that both UCLA, considering they just had a coaching change, and the issues at Kansas, considering they had that whole issue with one of their players not being eligible to play, you wonder if that is kind of what swung Stanley's vote to Duke. But keep in mind, this is actually going to mark the third year in a row that Duke has landed the number one recruiting class, and it is the fifth time they have done it in the past 6 years. Now, Duke did win the national championship back in 2015. Remember that freshman class. They had freshman Jahlil Okafor. They had Justice Winslow. They had Tyus Jones, and they had Grayson Allen. But lately, yeah, they've been getting knocked off by more experienced teams. We're going to have to see how this next class stacks up. But once again, Duke is probably going to have the top-rated recruiting class. Shifting over a little to that NFL draft, you know, Houston defensive lineman Ed Oliver is suddenly moving up everyone's draft boards with that draft coming in just a couple of days. Bleacher's Report Matt Miller said on Twitter, decent amount of Oliver top five buzz going around. Interior pressure is incredibly important, and teams believe he has elite ability from the inside. A number of mock drafts are starting to move Ed Oliver up into the top five, despite the fact just last week, he was down maybe in the top 10, 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there. What's changed? It's kind of interesting because Peter King of Pro Football Talk now has him going at number 3 to the Jets. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated says that he's going to be a top 5 pick because he is comparable to Aaron Donald with the Rams. And there is also talk that the Arizona Cardinals may not in fact select Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray. You know, we're going to talk about the top players in this draft here in just a few minutes. But here's a question. What games have been played? What combine events have taken place? What pro days have happened in the last, 48 to 72 hours? Nothing. Nothing whatsoever has happened. So why are these things coming out right now? Well, mostly because teams are trying to raise their trade value. So they're saying things like this. Hey, we're looking at taking Ed Oliver just in case anyone else out there wants him. We're going to take him, so you can't have him. So you might want to offer us something really great, because if you don't, I'm telling you, we're definitely going to take him. I don't believe one single word of what I hear at this time of the year. Let me ask you a question, Daily Dose listener. If you were a front office person in the NFL, and right now you are preparing to make your pick, you are looking at the people that you want. You are looking at some of the best players and you're saying, okay, if this player's here, I want that person. If this player's here, then I want them. If this player's here, then I want them. Let me ask you this. How many of you would be telling everyone, sports publications or just other sources, hey, so here's what we're going to do. So here is our ultimate plan. Here is where we want to go in this draft. Of course you're not going to do that. That would be absolutely insane. You would keep that all to yourself. So when this news comes out, then I have to think it also comes with an agenda. Just remember, at this time of the year, do not believe the hype that we are hearing from NFL teams.
Don't believe the hype.
One other story coming out that I'm not quite sure what to believe when I hear it, and that is because the NBA sometimes really makes me wonder what they're up to. Yesterday, the NBA acknowledged a critical missed call at the end of Game 4 between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets. According to the league's last 2-minute report, Sixers forward Tobias Harris should have been called for a foul when he wrapped his arms around Nets center Jarrett Allen in the final seconds of the game prior to an Allen turnover. Nothing was called. Brooklyn was down 2 points at that time, so that play was huge and it really cost the Nets. The Sixers went on to pull out a 112-108 victory in the game, and now they have a 3-1 series lead. They can actually close out Brooklyn in Game 5 tonight. Nets general manager Sean Marks was so angry about this non-call and with the officiating overall during the game. He ended up getting suspended and fined for going to the referee's off-limits locker room following the game. And this game in this series has been chippy. We talked about this rivalry yesterday, but Game 4 really got chippy. You had two players, Jared Dudley and Jimmy Butler, both get ejected for pushing. And you had another player in Joel Embiid given a flagrant foul. And apparently Marks was really angry that Embiid also didn't get ejected from the game. Now, here is my question to you, because sometimes I wonder about agendas. Why is the NBA coming out and admitting we missed this call? Hey, just so you know, we missed it. That's our bad. They're not going to change anything, right? They're not going to go back and replay these last few minutes, are they? They're not going to put some time back on the clock and say, okay, we're going to do a quick little do-over. We made the mistake, our bad. Let's go ahead and get this thing right. They're not going to do that. So why in the world does the NBA come out with this 2-minute report and openly admit that their officials missed an important call? What would possibly be in it for them to admit that? It seems like it would be really bad for business, doesn't it? Well, except for one thing. Except when you remember that Commissioner Adam Silver seems to desperately want to get into bed with sports gambling. Let's think about that for a minute. Sports gambling looks at the NBA and says, yeah, you're probably one of the worst sports leagues to have betting on because your officiating is so poor and so tilted in favor of the stars that most people won't bet on it. We don't want to bet on NBA basketball because we don't know what in the world your officials are going to call. It is erratic and it is inconsistent. Therefore, we don't want to bet on it. And it just makes me think Adam Silver is coming out and saying, hey, we know there's a problem. Look, we're admitting this. We're trying to fix it. Sports gambling, you need to come around on us because we really want to have a relationship with you. Just keep in mind, we're trying to fix this problem. I know it's a struggle. It's a really fast sport, but we're trying to fix it. Can't you see from this 2-minute report? We're really trying to fix these things. We want better officiating, and more importantly, we want your betting dollars. That, I believe, is the reason that the NBA releases these stupid reports. And yes, I do think they have an agenda. Hey, coming back, the NFL draft does begin on Thursday night, and we know NFL teams are going to take the best players available in the first round, aren't they? Well, I don't know. I wouldn't be so sure. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right. Your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises. But if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. So the NFL draft does start on Thursday night. And actually, on Thursday, we're going to do our best to try to predict those top 10 picks, which is going to be insanely tough. But we do these things for you, the Daily Dose listener. We humiliate ourselves for your enjoyment because it is so difficult to try to predict what NFL teams are going to do. And do you know why it's so hard? Because NFL teams do not always take the most talented players. Allow me to repeat that, because you heard that and you probably said, I must have misheard that. No, you didn't. Because I know it sounds like insanity, but it is true. NFL teams do not always select the most talented players. It isn't that they necessarily can't see talent. It isn't that they're completely inept at their job. I mean, not all the time. A lot of the time, but not all the time. But a lot of times, it is because these teams really aren't that concerned with finding the best player on the board. No, many times, they are trying to find the sexiest player on the board. Which player is going to be the most exciting to our fan base? Which player is going to sell the most tickets? I know, NFL teams are above all that, aren't they? No, they're not. So you have been a team that has gone 6-10. You have no real face of your program. You have an okay veteran quarterback, nothing great. Your offensive and defensive lines, though, are awful. Who does the team draft in the first round? They're going to draft a quarterback who probably should have lasted until the fourth or fifth round. Why? Well, because they're trying to give their fans something to get excited about, despite the fact that maybe a can't-miss offensive guard was sitting there on the board. Hey, fan bases aren't going to buy tickets to go see an offensive guard. Granted, it would probably help you. You would probably have a solid player for the next 10 years. But these NFL front offices, they don't think that way. They think, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this quarterback. Everyone's going to get all excited when I take him. That's going to buy me 2-3, at the most, maybe 4 years with this guy. That's going to give me a couple more years on my job. And if he somehow magically turns out, hey, then I'm set. But if he doesn't, I've bought myself 3 or 4 years to see how he turns out, and I'm not getting fired because I say, hey, wait, we have a young quarterback. What did you expect? We weren't going to win right away. We have to be patient with this young quarterback. Do you see how this all comes down? This has nothing to do with selecting the best player. This has to do with job security, and so many people in these NFL front offices are worried about their own jobs. So they gamble on players that have no business being taken that early. You want further proof? Today, let's take a look at who the top 10 players probably are. And there's a few players on here we can agree or disagree on. There's a couple other players that might be just off the board. But let's see, out of the top 10 players we have here, let's see if they all go in the top 10. Because I bet, I have a sneaking suspicion, they will not. And I have a sneaking suspicion of some other players that are going to sneak their way up into the top 10. Because that's what NFL front offices do. Let's take a look at some of the best players in this draft. And I know that there are other guys that are going to get more attention than our first guy up. But if I am picking the best player in the 2019 NFL draft, I'm going to go with the dependable guy that is just a football player. Because Kentucky linebacker Josh Allen, he stayed one more season last year because he wanted to develop a little bit more, and it really paid off. Josh Allen posted 18 sacks, and he is an absolute tackling machine. He ran a 4.640. So not only can he get to the passer, not only can he tackle from sideline to sideline, he can also drop back and cover when needed. I know there are a number of guys that are probably going to go ahead of Josh Allen, but this kid just makes plays. I would take a kid like him in the top 10. Next guy that I would look at is a guy that is getting looks in the top 3. He might be the best overall pick without a doubt, but here is the one concern I have about Alabama defensive lineman Quinnen Williams. Don't forget that we saw the Clemson Tigers kind of minimize the effect that he really had on the game. In that national championship game, Clemson was running up and down the field. Quinnen Williams kind of went a little bit missing. Still, you cannot deny Quinnen Williams was absolutely spectacular this year, and he is a load inside. Dude is 6'3", 303 pounds, and he has incredible explosion and speed. He can be a dominant force on the inside of the defensive line. Now, he might end up being the best player in this draft, but it's going to kind of depend which team takes him. Go to the right situation, we might be watching Quinnen Williams for years. Go to the wrong one, and he might disappear like he did against Clemson in that national championship game. Another guy I think is probably in the top 10, and he's a guy that's being talked about a lot with the number one pick overall, and that is Ohio State outside linebacker Nick Bosa. But I will tell you right now, I do have some concerns about this guy, as talented as he is. Bosa is probably going to be playing a defensive end at the next level. And he put up some good, solid numbers for the Ohio State Buckeyes. But I've got a couple of drawbacks with this guy. One, he was out with that abdominal muscle tear. So let's all be honest with ourselves. We're kind of just assuming he's going to be good, right? Because we didn't get to see that much of him. He missed his entire final season at Ohio State. I mean, we thought he would be really, really good, but then he got hurt. But we kind of look at him and go, well, I still think he's going to be really, really good because, I don't know, did you see what his older brother Joey did with the Chargers last year? Dude was a monster. Okay, but we haven't actually seen that production from you quite yet. We've seen it from your brother. Like, we see some signs from you. We just haven't exactly seen you do the things we expected you to do. Yes, your brother was very, very good. I just want to see a little bit more from Nick Bosa. But also remember this other thing. Remember when he got that injury, we didn't exactly see Nick Bosa rushing back for his teammates a la Zion Williamson. He was like, hey, got an injury? Okay, fellas, it's been fun. See ya. Best of luck. Hope the rest of the year goes well. I like Nick Bosa, but I guess more as like just a friend. I don't love Nick Bosa. I think he has a chance to be a very, very good NFL player, but I still haven't seen enough of the kid. And I think he actually may go number one overall. One guy I actually think is getting a little bit overlooked in this NFL draft is a guy that I think should be in the top 10. And that is Clemson defensive lineman Christian Wilkins. Do not forget what he did in the postseason last year. Remember, he had to pick up the slack when his teammate Dexter Lawrence failed that PED test and had to sit out because he was suspended. But Wilkins, who is very solid against the passing game, he can be very disruptive to your quarterback because he has great size. He is 6'3", and he is 315 pounds. But where we really see Christian Wilkins excel is when he faces the run. He gets a push up the middle. He pushes your ball carrier back into the backfield before he even gets a chance to find a rushing lane. Christian Wilkins did it to Alabama. Alabama had a pretty solid offensive line, and he did it to them too. Christian Wilkins, probably not getting talked about in the top 10. He's being looked at more as a top 20 kind of player. Yeah, I'd take Christian Wilkins on my team. And when we look at these defensive linemen and a guy like Christian Wilkins, a guy like Quinnen Williams, if you're soft up the middle, your team is soft. I don't want a soft team. Christian Wilkins will make your team more physical at the point of attack. Name me one team in the NFL that doesn't need to be tougher up the middle. I know my Denver Broncos definitely do. I know Wilkins will probably fall out of the top 10, but I think he is actually more talented than some of the other guys that are going to go in front of him. And I will also add this to Christian Wilkins. I think he's a really solid character guy. So let's see. You can help my defense become more tough. You can help him become more physical. You can stop the run. Oh, and you're going to be a quality character guy in the locker room? Yeah, I'll take Christian Wilkins before I would take some of the other players that we are going to see in the top 10. I'd rather have a guy like that. Another guy that is up. We already talked about him a little bit today on the Dose, and he is probably more talented than Christian Wilkins. He is probably as talented as Quinnen Williams on the defensive line, but I do have a number of questions about Houston defensive lineman Ed Oliver. For one, he is significantly undersized. He is just 6'2 and 285 pounds. But then we also saw this season, he just didn't always seem like he wanted to play. I don't know if he just didn't feel like playing, or maybe that was just him making a smart business decision, and it very well may have been. But I did watch him and say, he doesn't seem like he really cares if he's in the game. It doesn't really seem that paramount for him to find a way to lead his team to a win. He was just kind of like, hey, I'm just riding out the time. I'm just trying to get to the NFL. I don't care about my teammates. I don't care about any of that. And then we also had that whole bizarre blow up that he had with his head coach about wearing a team jacket on the sideline. Now, those things aren't enough to scare me off completely from Ed Oliver, because there's no question he is insanely talented, but I would have been using the scouting combine to try to get into Ed Oliver's head. I would want to find out, do you really want to be a great player? Is it of the utmost importance to you that you end up being one of the greatest all time? How important is it to you that we win? Because I haven't seen those traits in Ed Oliver yet. Talented? Yes. He's also a little bit undersized. But the biggest thing I want to watch with Ed Oliver, how much drive, how much passion does that guy have? I know he's getting compared to Aaron Donald. He's not that strong, but he does have similar athleticism. He does have similar explosion. Does he want to play the game? Does he want to be great? That is what I want to see with Ed Oliver. But I absolutely think he's going in the top 10. You know, it is the year of the defensive lineman, and we have another guy that I think probably should be in the top 10. I think he'll be either a defensive end or maybe an outside linebacker, but Mississippi State pass rusher Montez Sweat, he could be a monster if you just need someone to get to the quarterback. Now, he may actually drop out of the top 10 a little, because they found at the NFL Combine that Montez Sweat had a pre-existing heart condition, but they do think he's going to be able to play. He won't really have any issues with that. It just was kind of a murmur, and they found it at the combine and said, hey, we need to check into that. Sounds like the doctors did their job, and it sounds like he's going to be just fine. But hey, Montez Sweat is flat out a crazy, freakish athlete. How good of an athlete is he? Well, he started his collegiate career at Michigan State as a tight end. So you know he must be pretty athletic. Then he racked up 22 sacks over the past two seasons. And watching some of his film, he might have the quickest first step in this draft class. He has a very high motor. He plays extremely hard on every single play. And Montez Sweat is 6'6 and 260 pounds. With his wingspan, with his size, with how hard he plays the game, yeah, I think Montez Sweat is worthy of a top 10 pick. He could be a terror on your defensive line. Another guy that we have, and I know we're talking a lot about defense, but it's just one of those drafts where you have a lot of defensive players. But another guy we have out there, and he is just a tackling machine, but he may fall out of the top 10, is LSU inside linebacker Devin White. You know, White won the Butkus Award this past year for the best linebacker in the country, primarily because dude ran a 4.4240 at the NFL Combine. So yes, he can make tackles all over the field. He has that kind of size, and he can cover downfield. He could take your best tight end down the field if needed. This past year for LSU, Devin White had 123 tackles, including 12 tackles for losses. But here's the problem for Devin White. Is inside linebacker the sexiest pick on the board? Nope, not even close. So I could see Devin White dropping down maybe into the top 15, maybe the top 20. But hey, again, try winning football games when you can't stop opposing running backs. It's going to be very, very tough. Devin White can help you stop opposing running backs, and that's why I would have him in my top 10. Okay, so like I said, we do have a number of defensive players that are going to rate very high in this year's NFL draft. But maybe you're looking at the draft and you're saying, hey, my team needs some help on offense. And I feel your pain. I really do. But we do have a couple of options for you among the top players in this draft, because Iowa tight end TJ Hockenson, he is going to be an old school dual threat tight end. He will help your running game, because not only is he not afraid to block, he actually takes pride in his blocking. He is a very good blocker, but he's not exactly Mark Bavaro, just a blocker. He is also pretty athletic. Hockenson ran a 4.740, and he has a 37.5-inch vertical jump. Hockenson caught 49 passes this past year for 760 yards, so he was averaging over 15 yards a catch, and he caught 6 touchdowns. We haven't seen that great of a dual threat tight end coming out in a number of years. Hockenson might be that guy, though. I've got two more offensive players for you that I think I would consider if I was picking in the top 10. And please, don't misunderstand me. I'm going to put Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray here. It isn't that I dislike Kyler Murray and I have him down super low. I do think he's probably one of the top 10 players in this draft. For one, I think Kyler Murray is a lot tougher than people think he is. I know he's a smaller guy, but you watch him throw, there is velocity on those passes. You watch the way he plays, and like I've talked about before, when he was getting pummeled by Alabama, he kept fighting back. That showed me a lot. He also does know how to throw the ball downfield and attack people down the field. And don't forget, he does have that absolutely electric speed to him as well. But can I just confess one weird concern that I guess I have about Kyler Murray? Last year, we saw 6-foot quarterback Oklahoma's Baker Mayfield go to the Cleveland Browns with the top pick, right? And he looks like he is going to be a very good NFL quarterback. Here is my concern for Kyler Murray. And maybe this is completely insane. Maybe this has no basis whatsoever. Maybe I'm way off. But what are the odds that Oklahoma produces another bona fide 6-foot and under quarterback in back-to-back years that is going to go to the NFL and be successful? We can name the great NFL quarterbacks 6-foot and under on one hand. And don't get me wrong, some of that is because a lot of players never got the chance. But can it really happen again, already, back-to-back years, same school? I realize that might be a weird reason that I'm a little concerned about Kyler Murray. But I am. I like Kyler Murray a lot. I just worry, really, another small guy? And he's going to just be that spectacular? I'm rooting for Kyler Murray. I'm going to be very, very fascinated to see where he goes. I know a lot of people have him going number one. We will see where Kyler Murray ends up. I would put him in my top 10 because I do think he's electric. Finally, I guess I would throw Florida offensive lineman Juwan Taylor in here as one of the top 10 players in this draft class just because of some of the athleticism and the size that he has and because he is an extremely hard worker. And that will help him going forward. Now, Juwan Taylor has primarily played right tackle, and I would imagine he stays there at the next level. Maybe he even moves into guard. But he's 6'5", he's 312 pounds, so he has that NFL size, and he has a huge wingspan, and he has really, really good feet. He's proven to be a very good run blocker, and he loves to go smash people and pancake people down the field. I just don't think he's quite skilled enough to be one of those great left tackles. But I think Juwan Taylor should be a solid offensive lineman in the NFL. Now, we look at these players that we just named, that are certainly in the conversation, at least, for the top 10 players in this coming 2019 NFL draft. And we already know, some of the guys we just named, they will not go top 10. Why? Well, because NFL teams will insist on taking guys like maybe Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins, who is a huge kid, and I actually like him. He seems really, really smart. He's got a huge arm. But I think he's going to take a few years to become a polished passer at the next level. I don't think he's a step in and take over the team guy on day one. He has struggled to make accurate passes on the move. I would like to see how he'd develop a little bit more. I think we could also see Missouri quarterback Drew Locke move into the top 10. My problem with Locke, he didn't win nearly enough in the SEC East, and he has some serious accuracy concerns. We could see someone like LSU cornerback Greedy Williams, who has a great highlight tape, but he didn't play that well in big games. We could even see Alabama running back Josh Jacobs, who I like, but again, he hasn't played very much. So we don't really know what he has. But again, you look at a quarterback, you look at a running back, you look at a cornerback, and these are sexy picks, and fans love sexy. At least on draft day. Sure, eventually these fans are going to turn, and they're going to scream about how their team is losing, and why didn't you pick better players? Why did you waste a pick on that quarterback? He wasn't that good. What were you doing? But NFL front offices love sexy picks on draft day. And I just bet we are going to see a lot more of them on Thursday. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will, of course, be bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of sports news. And we are also going to be taking a look just a little at some other NFL draft prospects that are out there. Maybe some guys that you have not heard of. They just might be a little bit under your radar. Got to make sure that you tune into The Dose tomorrow. I'd say thank you all so much for listening to The Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us, thank you so much. It is appreciated. Hey, make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Pick up some of that Daily Dose gear you know you need in your life. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.